fun.
If he's not ready, don't throw him out there.
Wake the kids and phone the neighbors.
He's the suit and the voice of NASCAR in the Music City, Chase McCabe.
The most famous words in motorsports.
He's a three-time Emmy Award winner and Nashville's media darling, Big Joe Dubin.
Two words I hate more than anything else, mental reps.
This is the Chase and Big Joe Show.
Well, Lottie freaking God!
Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Release the hounds.
Your sports live here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
And good Friday, everybody. Welcome to Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And we're excited. This entire hour is dedicated to a great color, and that is blue. The Blue Raiders. And we're excited at MTSU to do this special show. And the director of athletics, Chris Massaro, joins us now in this beautiful facility. This is my first time here.
Oh,
this
wow.
This is so awesome. Looking out over Floyd Stadium, I mean, you have to be very proud.
We're thrilled, and the building's been great. It's been everything that we've wanted. It's been really gratifying to see it being used. You know, it's in construction and planning space for so long. It was really more of a transition than I thought it'd be to watch it being used and being occupied, and just how people are liking it. And our student athletes are responding to it, from the volleyball team to the soccer team to the football team. I mean, they've really, everybody's embraced the building.
So what all, we obviously the SRM Concrete Club is where we are right now, which has got to be busy on game day. What is everything that's in this building?
Yeah, and the first floor is primarily for our student athletes. There's the Kevin Byard Strength and Conditioning Room, which is our weight room. And so that's four or five times the space that we previously had. And so we're able to comfortably work out all of our teams in it. We've actually got another weight room in the Murphy Center, and those guys don't want to lift in there, the basketball guys in particular. But maybe when it starts snowing or it gets cold, right, they might not want to go outside to come here. So that's on the first floor. We have a nutrition station that's open to all of our student athletes. So we make smoothies and grab and go type stuff and those kind of things. Just chocolate milk and recovery and all those things that are so important to be an elite athlete. And then a training room with everything that you would imagine in there for that. All the rehab equipment. We've got hydro pools for rehab. We've got a cold plunge pool. We've got a red light therapy room. We've got a hot pool for therapy. So,
wow.
I mean, it's a little bit country clubbish, but it's really nice. And again, all of our student athletes have embraced that. And then also on the first floor is our football locker room.
Yeah.
And they've got their players lounge attached to it. And the players lounge is becoming more and more important than when we designed it, you know, a couple years ago. But now in the transfer world, you know, where the teams are a lot more transient, you need places for those guys to bond. And so the large locker room and adjacent to it, the players' lounge, where there's some pool tables, there's some recovery chairs, there's some PlayStations and those kind of things that they can just be in there and relax, whether it's between classes, whether it's between practices or commitments, and those kind of things, so they can bond with each other. And that room has become more important than it was even a couple years ago. Then on the second floor is all of our football operations, so all the football coaches' staffs are up there. That we've got meeting rooms for staffs, meeting rooms for position players. We've got a defensive meeting room. We've got a team meeting room that'll seat 150 people, theater style. And Chase, we've never had that before here. And so that room's going to get used a lot. We had our first all-athletic staff meeting where Dr. McPhee and I addressed the group at the start of the school year and set the expectations and those kind of things. And it's just a first-class place to have those kind of meetings as well. Then on the third floor, which is the last floor, what we're sitting in is the SRM Concrete Club. And so this is a place for student-athletes to get occasional meals. This is a place that we've sold premium opportunities to watch our six football games We've got two suites that are attached to it, outdoor patio suites that are fantastic viewing and just to enhance the game day experience. And, you know, despite our result, which was hugely disappointing on Saturday, the people did say, man, with the field and the building, and it's just as was a new look for the Blue Raiders. And so we just need to capitalize on that momentum going forward and help us build this football program.
We're talking to MTSU Athletic Director Chris Massaro. So we've talked before. You're on the College Football Playoff Committee. Yeah. You love football. You watch football anyway. Are you watching it different this year because you are on the committee?
Yeah, you do watch it a little bit differently, you know. And I've got such a great wife. She's a sports fan too. And so there was something that had to be done in the yard. I think it was like on Sunday, you know, and I'm catching up watching games. And I said, no, I'll go take care of it. And she says, no, you watch football. And I'm like thinking, man, this is like every guy's dream. So I could just hang out and watch football.
Yes.
You know, and so that's what I've done. And they give you a little iPad and, you know, and the catapult system, which is like the coaches' films. And I could also watch TV copies off of that, and you can fast forward through some of the commentary or by these color commentators. You can just zip right through.
I would too. Those,
you know,
guys.
So yeah, they don't know. And so I've watched a ton, you know, and I think I watched like 21 games.
Wow.
From last week. I'm supposed to be. Part of my assignment is to be a group of five expert, so I've always watched a lot of group of five games just to see how we measure up. And then I'm a secondary person for the Mountain West and have the primary person for the Independents. So that's UConn and Notre Dame. So it's fun watching those teams.
Good Lord, you got a lot going on there. When is your first meeting with them? In person.
Well, yeah, we've had two meetings. We had one in April in Chicago, and that was more just get to know you kind of thing. And then we had one in August in Colorado Springs, and that was more here's the technology, here's the expectations, here's the creed, here's, you know, and what they've drilled in those two meetings is our obligations to get it right. You know, leave your logos at the door. And our obligation to the American sporting public is we're gonna do as much homework as we can. We're gonna dig into it. There's 13 of us. All of us will have different opinions. Your voices need to be heard, and then discussed and vetted, and those kind of things. And our obligation to college football is to get it right. And I believe in that mission. And we've got great leadership with Rich Clark, who runs it. And then the chair of our committee is Mac Rhodes, who's the AD at Baylor, and he's provided tremendous leadership. So we'll have one more meeting in October, and that'll be sort of a mock how we do things and how you vote and those kind of things. And then at the beginning of November, we'll meet weekly, and that's when you'll see the top 25 coming out. So they want you to come to those meetings fully prepared, that have your own top 30. And so have those, and then have them alphabetized. And so I would have never thought to alphabetize it, because when they start saying, you know,
yeah,
like I can handle Air Force, but maybe Nebraska might be a little bit different in the alphabet. And so you can kind of keep track of what's going on, and you can always tell. They said you can always tell who's forgotten to alphabetize, because those guys are kind of scrambling around a little bit. So and then that's when the discussion begins, and you know, so that first rankings in like the first week of November will be a really fun and learning experience.
Oh, I'm sure. What advice have you gotten from those that were on the committee? I mean, I know you got to have a thick skin. You have to. Is anybody giving you any advice?
Yeah, they do, you know, and to do your homework, that's the biggest thing. Come prepared. And I've told everybody on the committee, I don't think they're going to find anybody that's going to work harder than me.
Good.
So that hopefully that's not a concern as it relates to Chris Massaro, because I will be prepared. I will be watching the games, all those kind of things. And then, yeah, to try to do your best to get it right. And then – don't be on social media for a couple of days when it gets announced. And there have been times where that there's been some serious threats against committee members, on that final December and those kind of things. But I think that's maybe with a 12-team playoff, maybe that's a little bit less. So we'll see. You know, you're going to make somebody happy. You're going to make somebody mad. The margins are really small when you start talking about really good football teams, which to be in the top 20, you're a good football team, so the margins are there and everybody will come at it with a little bit of a different opinion.
Chris Massaro is with us, the athletic director here at Middle Tennessee State University. Obviously, we have Coach Mason coming up. I know things were disappointing on Saturday, but you now have that opportunity to respond.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I try and look at things. And I think going into a Big Ten school, a place like Camp Randall, that kind of atmosphere is a great place to respond. How do you kind of view that? It's a road trip. Road trips are good. Coaches like road trips. What's kind of the AD's point of view there?
Yeah, I think that, you're excited to play that game. I mean, your players love those games. Coaches not so much, but the players love those games. And so it'll be a fun and it'll be a memory that they'll have their whole career. And so my thing is, let's make those positive memories. I mean, let's go out and compete and let's hold up and let's have some structure and those kind of things. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the grit, and that kind of thing, because we got some sand kicked in our face. There's no getting around that. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a competitor, how do you react? And there's not much good news. I don't want to make it sound Pollyanna, but the one of the good news of this is we've got 11 more opportunities to kind of erase that memory. I can't be like Men in Black with that little that little thing. I would love to be able to do that, where we could just erase that memory. But we've got 11 opportunities to do that, and so we triple bogeyed the first hole, but we can still win the golf tournament, and so. We just have to play the second hole a little bit better,
right?
Than the third hole, and get our composure and just find out who we are and how we play and those kind of things. So let's. I think you find out a lot about a team, and everybody goes through adversity. And man, we got hit with a ton of adversity the first Saturday. So let's see how we all react. Let's see how the players react. Watch the coaches and how they react. I've been out to practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and so they're jumping around, and we got the stadium noise,
right.
And they are jumping around because that's the song that's playing, So let's go out and compete, and let's go see what let's. Like Bill Belichick said about his team, he thinks that they're better than what they showed. And I've looked at that game three times now on tape and just in its entirety. And so just to see for myself, and there were plays there that could be made and we just didn't make them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we dropped it, whether we overthrew it, like particularly offensively, we never got a rhythm. We never got in sync, and for whatever reason. And so that's what I want to see is this rhythm. I think defensively we held up okay in the second half. I mean, we weren't great, but I thought our defensive line kind of dominated, and, we held them a little bit and that kind of thing to give our offense a chance to get us back into the game. So hopefully offensively we'll play much better.
I'm good. He's Chris Massaro, the athletic director here at MTSU. Hey, we're excited. We're also excited to be traveling and representing the Blue Raiders at Wisconsin.
You get to go eat some cheese curds up there, right?
Yes. Cheese curds.
Yeah, a little
spotted cow. I'm excited about
it'll
that.
It'll be good. You're going to be our good luck charm. I think the players are going to rub the top of your head.
Let's go. Hey, whatever they need to do.
We go out there. Right. But it'll be a great trip, a great environment. It's a great opportunity. And we're so happy that you guys are
Thank you.
There. So yeah, thank you for taking time and coming with us.
Absolutely. We'll continue with our Blue Raider special. The head coach, Derek Mason, will join us. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, live today on the campus of MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University. Our Blue Raider special this hour, and we continue with the head coach of the Blue Raiders, Derek Mason.
We say hello now to Derek Mason, head coach of the Blue Raiders, here with us. Coach, what's up? How you doing?
Man, I've been in the lab. I've been down there with our coaches, man, on a Wednesday. Man, looking at this Wisconsin tape, man, and making sure, man, that we got the right stuff, man, to try to get ourselves up to Madison and go play well.
So I heard a high school coach say one time after a tough loss for his team, he said, you know, he's meet with the guys after the game, and they're upset and, you know, disappointed. And he says, you guys have an opportunity that you haven't had this year.
Yeah.
That is the response. What's the response going to be? What are you going to learn from this, take from this, and use at the next game? And that's always stuck with me because that's more than just a coach thing to say. Like, that is, like, you can do that with anything in life of now you got the response. So what's that going to be? So how do you look at that as, you know, it obviously it was not what anybody wanted Saturday, but going into Wisconsin, a tough place to play in the Big Ten, now your guys have an opportunity to respond.
That's right. Wisconsin doesn't care.
Yeah, right.
Wisconsin doesn't care about the troubles or issues of the Blue Raiders. And with that, I think like this, right? I mean, in a game one, you know, you don't minimize it. Yeah, I mean, are you a little perturbed, a little upset, a little pissed off? Absolutely. But here's the thing, right? I mean, like, there's lessons in it. Mm-hmm. And so you got to grab the lessons. Otherwise, man, it's just a loss that can compound itself. And so when you looked at it, not a fast start, didn't play well, you know, offensive early, defensively, you know, just some miscues, not being able to get off the field. Parson did a really good job, you know, playing off schedule a little bit. And you get behind. And then all of a sudden, man, you get an opportunity to put some points up, and you learn from that a little bit. You come out, and you have a chance to get off the field, and there's something there for you, right? Remember, we get penalized, and it keeps going. So, you know, when you look at the game, you go back, man, there were tick marks. It's like the consistency of what you got to do offensively. It's, you know, like defensively, hey, you lose a couple of players, man, but what you got to do, man, is continue to find ways to get off the field. And that's this quality, this strain, this play-to-play mentality of doing the 5 feet in front of you. Yeah. I think sometimes guys get caught looking in the rearview mirror, and none of that really matters. The only thing you can do is work on the 5 feet in front of you. And so, you know, with that being said, there was a lot to pull from this game. Just so much so as a coach, man, that it was almost heavy to unpack. But what I will say is that, you know, in getting to it, you know, Sunday comes, Monday comes, and then Tuesday you're right back on the grass. And so you got to move fast because with 11 contests left, you can't afford any more, you know, learning lessons. You want wins.
Well, and when you watch the tape, I don't know if you probably watched it Saturday night or Sunday morning, what disappointed you more than anything else?
I thought how we started this thing, the kickoff to the college football season. And listen, things can happen, right? I do get things to happen. But, man, but if you tell me that I'm going to have, you know, I'm in a quarterback in Nick Vadiato, you know, man, get the ball first, okay, man, at home, I definitely expected to go down and score, right?
Right.
And so when that didn't happen, it was like, okay, well, we'll get it next run. But you just kept seeing the lack of strain and finish, whether it was a missed throw or a drop pass or a play not made, you know, it leads to 0-12. You don't get to 0-12 in one play. You get to 0-12 over a series of plays, right?
Yeah.
And so I think all of it for me was just like, okay, practicing well, having great game plans really doesn't mean anything, man. You got to perform.
Right.
Right. And that's what it came down to. So as we talked again, it's like, listen, I care about the performance, okay? So we have to perform, okay? I mean, the practice stuff, I mean, you got to do that, and you did that well. But we can't have performance anxiety. That's part of what college football is. So let's be better in the spaces that we're in. And I tell you what, they all have responded. But now, man, you got a little tougher challenge. But, you know, the tougher the challenge, the greater the opportunity.
Yeah, that's, I love the psychology of coaching. Look, every coach has been on both sides of that.
No
doubt. You've won. It's every night. Hell, Vince Lombardi was bad starting out.
Right.
So how do you minimize the frustration and still coach at the same time? Because I'm telling you, you got some talented guys on this team. I'm telling you right now, you got some talented guys on this team. How do you minimize the frustration and say, look, we still believe in you?
Well, it's proximity versus presence. See, you can be in proximity and just allow things to happen, or you can be present and you can be with them. Mm-hmm. See, like, you got to be in it with them, because if they feel like it's you against them and not you with them,
yeah,
well, then you lost them.
That's right.
Okay, so the idea is that, hey, man, what do we do? Okay, how do we make it better? Okay, well, then let's get back to, you know, like, what it takes to make it better. And it's the work, it's the challenge, it's the expectation, it's this idea of accountability. You know, like, when you look at it, you know, like, sometimes what happens is do you trust the process? Do you respect the process? Okay, is your effort at a fever pitch?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and when we talk about accountability, are you willing to hold the man next to you accountable? Because when you looked at it, okay, it happened, and you didn't say anything. Well, if you didn't say anything, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. And then it's the discipline in what we do to not fall to the lowest level of your training. Okay, prepare and always try to be at the highest level of it, because, you know, like, in situations, that's what we fall back on.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Talking to MTSU football coach Derek Mason here on the Chase and Big Joe show. How do you – I always like to ask this question. How do you prepare for 90,000 screaming fans?
We had so much crowd noise. I don't know if you heard it where you lived, but I tell you what, I got jump around and full crowd noise still blaring in my ear. It's been that way the last couple of days. Actually, the defensive staff towards the end of practice came over to me and said, "Hey, coach, you know they're not going to be playing that when we're up.
Right.
Can we get some of that turned down?" So I said, no, we'll turn it down on Thursday. So Thursday's the day that they'll have very little crowd noise. But I just want them to get used to, you know, what that atmosphere is going to be like. You know, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. It's going to be great energy. And within all that, man, you still have to make sure that you can control your focus.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
Have you coached there before?
Haven't coached there before. I've coached against Wisconsin a couple of times in bowl games, but never. Now, I do have two sister-in-laws, man, who are from Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I've been to Green Bay. I've been to Madison, but never to coach or play in a game.
What do road trips do for a team? Like, I feel like, and I know it's, you know, it's a quick one. It's kind of an overnight thing, but I feel like there's something to that.
You know, road trips sometimes, road trips allow you to be sort of naive in the moment, mm-hmm. right, man? Because you don't get to think about, you know, all these other things going on, right? You go, you get to the hotel, man, you're in a new environment, you do this, you have your meetings, you go to bed, you wake up, you play, okay, and then it's on. So you're just, like, naive in the process of it. So the focus tends to be a little more on point. Okay, when you're on the road, to me, you know, home, man, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. You know, are your parents coming in? Your tickets, your this, your that, man. You got a lot of stuff going on. But when you're on the road, it's just you guys. It's you. It's like 300. You know, like the 300 while I am, right? It's you only. You may have a couple folks. That's great. But, you know, when you go up against, you know, like the Persians, okay, it's just going to be you and your squad against the 90,000, 100,000. So let's get ready.
I love that. In college one time, we got our butt kicked really bad, and our coach said to us after the game, "I'm going to tell you I love you, but in a different way." Does that make sense? Right?
Yeah.
I still love you, but I'm going to tell you in a different way.
Yeah, and that becomes the truth, right? That's the truth piece, right? Because, you know, I love you. You never stop loving, you know, like the players you coach, the young men that you're responsible for.
Right.
You never stop loving them. But when you have to talk about points, when you have to talk about sort of how things happen in life, you know, regret comes at you in one of two ways, okay? There's the regret of, you know, hey, man, I'm glad I did, or I wish I would have.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, some people look at it and say, you know what? Hey, man, I'm glad I did that. You know what? It was pretty good for me. Other people look at it and say, you know what, man, I'll never get that one back. We don't get Austin Peay back, but we do have an opportunity to go to Wisconsin and play the Badgers in Camp Randall, which will be electric. And, you know, we talked a little bit amongst the coaching staff about, you know, the 2012 team, Kevin Byard being a freshman. What happened to that team? You know, man, they lose to McNeese. Then they have to turn around. They have to play Memphis and then Georgia Tech. And, you know, that's sort of how you have to respond. The resilience of the great thing about football is that you get one every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's so like this turnaround, man, you got to look forward, man. You got to pull this thing forward. And right now, this group, like to me, Monday was hard. Because it was a holiday and, you know, guys are sort of in their feeling. Sunday was really hard, but then Monday was hard, right? Because, you know, it's sort of a holiday, you know, no class, and they're sort of stewing in it. And then we came back on Tuesday and the work had to be done. So that's where we are right now. The heavy work, the heavy lifting's been done on a Wednesday. Now everything is above the neck and polishing, getting ready, you know, like to go on the road. And what I can tell you is they've got some players on that side that we have to be aware of, but I thought some guys played extremely well. Our D-line played well, okay, man, and we needed them to play well, like last week. You know, guys like DeMonte and, you know, Anthony Bynum and Shakai Woods, you know, Zion Simpson, you know, got 35 reps in that ball game. Like to me, I saw the interior D-line play as well as I've seen. We got to hold up on the edges a little bit. We got to build some edges and make sure we can be top down, because if we can do that, you know, it gives us a chance, and all you want is an opportunity.
Right, sure.
All you want is an opportunity.
That's it. Well, you'll get it coming up on Saturday. We're looking forward to it. I'll be on the trip this week, so it'll be fun.
I like it.
And cheer you guys on. So thanks so much for doing this. I know you got some meetings, but we'll see you Saturday.
Chase, Big Joe, man, it's always good to be around you guys. You guys get it. You understand what it is. And you know what, man, we got to bring one home for you. So let's go Blue.
Coming up next, we talk to the general manager of the Blue Raider football team, Dana Marquez. He's on the other side of this Blue Raider special. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We are at MTSU. We're getting ready to head to Madison, Wisconsin, as the Blue Raiders will take on the Badgers. But continuing our special here with Dana Marquez, who is the Associate AD of Equipment and Football General Manager. How about that? I got the title right.
That works. That works. Thank you very much.
I think you're kind of like me. You just answered anything. Like, it's whatever needs to be done.
My entire career has been that way.
So the whole general manager thing in college football, I feel is fairly new. I know that a lot of programs have kind of started that with the NIL and the transfer portal and different ways of acquiring players. So how has that role evolved since you've started?
I think that even for me as a general manager at MTSU is completely different than an Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Yeah, right.
And you look around the country, even in our own conference, we have this little chat group with all the GMs and everything else, and everybody comes from a different and diverse background of what they've done in the past or so on and so forth. I think I'm the only equipment guy across all platforms that has done this, but I'm also the only business owner that has done it. So, a lot of these guys are looking at it from strictly a football acquisition portion. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of business operation. So I'm looking, how do we generate revenue to support our athlete, but how do we get our athlete to understand what that short-term revenue that we're providing can generate for them in a business structure, which is name, image, and likeness, right?
Right.
If I asked to ask Andrew Luck what his deal is, he's going to call plays, he's going to be on the field, he's going to be kind of managing the team and those types of things. It's a completely different platform. I have an entire recruiting and scouting department on staff. Those guys are responsible for doing those items and then get that information to the coaching staff. And for me, it's sitting back and looking at, okay, do we have the funds to do this? where do we want to put our funds? So we need an offensive line. So do we want to spend 21% of our cap on the offensive line, or do we want to spend 5% of this cap on the offensive line? How valuable are they to our community, which is a little different because I think a lot of people are looking at strictly football.
Yeah.
And these kids, I think there's a lot of myths where these kids are here to play football. They're also still here to get an education. And I think it's extremely important for MTSU to understand that it's extremely important to Coach Mason and myself and the rest of the coaching staff that our football team has a very much a community feel and that they really want to play for the borough and do those things. And you saw that a little bit over the weekend with the team selling tickets to the first game, which was kind of great. And their section sold out, which was phenomenal. They did a great job of doing that. And what they learned there is they're their own little company. And they have an opportunity to do little things for the community and grow. And that's, and you know, even during the recruiting process, when I came in, I guess 8 months ago, that was a conversation we had with agents. It was a conversation we had with parents. And I think it really resonated with them that we just weren't going to pay you to play football, right? And that's not really what this is supposed to be anyway. But it, obviously, we signed the number one class coming out of that process, and I think it resonated with parents, it resonated with agents that we're here to help the student athlete with this process. I think that's where my business background comes into play, and even though I've been around it for a long, long time, 30 plus years, it is a little different look at what the rest of the country is doing.
We're talking to Dana Marquez. He's the general manager, and I love saying that, general manager of the MTSU football team. It sounds different, you know, when you say that way, because we didn't have, like Chase said, there was no GMs around forever. What's the best part of your job? What do you like the best?
Right now, I would say the best part of my job is just getting to know the kids and seeing what their future can be, right? If it's the NFL, how are we going to help them do that, right? Listening to them, what their business structure is. I have players on our team that have their own apparel company and doing great. So it's listening to that and seeing what it's all doing. Now it's trying to take that piece of information and how do you turn it on its head, right? Why do we have to do what everybody else is doing? I've been asked this question so many times. Well, Dana, how are you guys following WKU or what are you doing at Liberty or what all these other people are doing? I go, I don't work for any of those schools. So it doesn't matter to me. So how do we, as a program, as an athletic department, turn it on its head to make MTSU understand it's a community base, it's a small community. How do we drive that interest? How do we drive that demand? And then take our athletes and show them what happens when they get involved. Those are the exciting parts of what I have going right now.
So when the Tennessee situation with their quarterback, Nico, wanting more money, that would not be your world, would it, or is it?
It is.
Okay.
It is kind of my world, but it's also an explanation to that, right? We had a recruit come in, say, hey, we're going to get this much money. I'm like, hey, look, I get it. I understand. We're not going to offer that. I go, but I will tell you this. And I go, here's what you have to ask. Here's our plan. And I give them a plan. I give them, hey, here's where our tax implications will be. Here's what we're going to do when you get here. Here's how this is going to work. One, two, three, four. Boom. You go to that school and you go ask for as much money as you want. Just know they're probably not going to have a plan for you. They're just going to throw out a number. See what happens. Well, 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. Recruit says, hey, they didn't have a plan, and they didn't offer me the money. I said, that's too bad, man. What do you want us to do? Well, I really feel comfortable in what you guys laid out there. That's great. I go, yeah, but that plan has changed, right?
Yeah.
Because you just played us.
Right.
So now I get to get back in my business world and say, okay, well, you know, it was going to give you this.
Right.
But now I'm going to give you this.
I love this.
Who is it that said today? Yesterday's offer is not today's offer?
So so you go back to the old movie Draft Day when he goes, we live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. So,
this is great.
So that's a little different, right? I've never had those type of conversations, but it makes sense. And you really want the athlete to understand. One of the big things we ask, and I know I ask this a lot of people, why MTSU? If you don't know your why you want to attend MTSU and why you don't want to play football here, that's going to be a really hard for me to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to offer you this much money. Like, I, you know a little bit about it. It's like when you go on an interview and you don't know anything about your school, you don't know anything about your job, you don't know anything, like, but pay me $100,000.
Right.
It's like, let's not do that, right? And those are things that we're teaching our athletes, right, is when I had an athlete walk up to me, goes, Dan, I want NIL money. I said, cool, put a business plan together and bring it back to me.
That, never, right. And never, that I think is.
Never saw it again.
That's preparing them for after here, yeah. After football.
Yeah. And that's, and I try to explain to these guys, it's short term money.
Yeah.
It is very short term. And the money that we are providing you, there are some advantages to that and those types of things. But what are you going to do with it in 5 years?
Right.
And because, you know, after 5 years, you may not be playing in the NFL. You may not be doing this. You may be looking for a job and those types of things. So what are we doing as a football program to help our athlete? And that's still kind of our core value, right, is to make sure our student athlete understands that, yes, we want to be successful on the football field. Yes, we want you to be successful in the classroom. But more importantly, we want you to be a young, successful young man when you leave MPSU.
I'm fascinated by this, because, and I think this is great, what you all are doing, because I think everyone's afraid to say, you know, to whatever school it is, that a majority of the guys that are on that team aren't going to play on Sundays. So that's just the reality of it. Right. And just like there's a ton of high school kids that aren't going to play on Saturdays.
Correct.
So how much of the discussion is more of the future and not so much the now of saving up and being smart and investing in the right things and being with the right people? Because I feel like that's just as important as, you know, hey, what can you do for me right now?
Those are my daily talks, right? Those are my weekly talks. I have my own little culture group that I meet with weekly, and those are things that we talk about. I've spent time in the NFL, and, you know, I remember when I was at the Atlanta Falcons, and it's a scary moment when you sit there and Mike Smith comes over, he goes, hey, Danny, go clean out his locker. And we're still in the middle of practice. And you get done, and the player comes off the field and all of his stuff sitting in a bag at the front desk. He goes, what happened? I go, you've been cut. Sorry. I go, your stuff's at the front desk, your keys there. And these kids don't see that. They don't understand that portion of how that is strictly a business. And here you're sitting here, guys, you're trying to treat it like a business. Like, hey, look, I'm going to fine you if you don't dress right. No, you can't do that, right? So you're trying to say, hey, look, what can we do to help you? So punishment is not part of the project. Education is part of the project. Hey, look, you didn't do this right. Here's what we want you to do, and this is the end result. And I think that those are daily conversations you have to have with every athlete that you have. I don't get to every single one of them, but I'm in the locker room more times than not. I'm probably in there more than any coach. Because my office, with the equipment room being down there and my office up on the second floor, I spent a lot of my time in the locker room just kind of seeing what the players are doing. Because there's one thing I've learned in my 30-plus years of being an equipment guy across the NFL and everybody else. Players act like players and like themselves in a locker room. Once you move them up to the second floor, it's a yes sir, no sir.
Yeah.
They completely change,
mm-hmm.
Right? I get to see them. And I get to make fun of them. They get to make fun of me. And it's a good camaraderie. So when I get asked by a scout, this is kind of unique. When I get asked by a scout from an equipment structure standpoint, Dana, what's he like? We don't talk football. It's like, well, no, he's kind of a knucklehead, right? or he's a young kid. He's immature, so on and so forth. I had a player at Auburn, and the New England Patriots scout asked me, Dana, if you gave him $1 million, what would happen? I go, he'd blow it in about 2 days. There is no doubt.
Right.
I go, but he loves football and he's passionate. I don't know that helps you, right? Because if he's immature inside of a locker room amongst a bunch of men and he just doesn't know how to act, giving him a lot of money is probably not a good thing.
Right, right.
No matter how good of a football player he is. So the one thing I tell our kids is, like, I'm never going to lie for you because that's on me.
Yeah.
If I go tell an NFL scout, dude, this guy's the best thing since sliced bread, you get up there and you just – blow up. Like, Danny, you said this guy was this. I'm like, yeah, that's on me.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
You just can't do those things. And that's what you try to have those conversations daily with those kids of just saying, this is real life. This is really what's going on.
I love it. This is not a question, but I would love to sit with you sometime. And I'm sure your eye rolls when some of these kids have asked you for money is like, you got to be kidding me. You don't have to answer that question, but right. I just know it's happened. And I find it fascinating because, this is great. I had no idea for this. I think you're a wonderful asset to the program. And thank you. This is great.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Dana, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Dana Marquez, who is the – let's do the full title. Associate AD of Equipment and Football General Manager, joining us here on our Blue Raider special. We'll have more coming, including the voice of the Blue Raiders, Chip Walters. That is next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We are about to head to Madison, Wisconsin. So we are excited about that as the Blue Raiders will take on the Badgers coming up tomorrow. And you can hear it all on Totally Hits 93.3, pregame at 1:30. And then kickoff will be around 3 o'clock at Camp Randall. The man that will be on the call alongside you, Big Joe, Chip Walters, the voice of the Blue Raiders, joins us now. What's up, Chip?
Doing good. And I was counting the other day, there two things I counted. Number one, how many of the current 1A or FBS programs have I ever seen play in person?
Oh, cool.
It was like 89 out of 136. So in my career, I've been able to see that many in person. The other is, what's really odd this year, is we will be in four stadiums that we've never broadcast from before.
Ooh.
Or at least me. Wisconsin, Nevada, Kennesaw, because we haven't played there in football. I've been there in basketball. And Delaware. Although Middle played at Delaware in the 70s. But we've not been up there, obviously, in a while. So it's really weird for me to add four new stadiums to the list that I've been fortunate to see over the years.
Are there ones that, like, to me, Camp Randall's exciting. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know, jump around and they're,
yeah,
you know, it just, I'm excited to experience that because I've grown up in the SEC and, you know, SEC
right.
environments to experience a Big Ten, I think it's going to be kind of cool. So do you go through that?
Yeah, I mean, I get excited every week. You mean, it doesn't matter really where it's at. And but you know, there's some that stick out over time where you've been to for one reason or another. I mean, we played a night game at LSU, which was and back then they had Mike the Tiger's cage parked right by the visitors' locker room, and when the guys would come out, they would be poking him with sticks, and so he'd be all upset. But I remember, you know, vividly the view we had at BYU, or we played at Texas A&M in the early 90s, and to be there when the Corps cadets came in. And then, you know, in our era now of being in the Group of Five, to see people who've opened up new stadiums, it was a big deal when we opened up this new stadium in 99 or 98. And but North Texas has a great new place to play. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Charlotte looks like this week because they're going to host North Carolina on their campus, not at the NFL stadium. So they've brought in temporary seating there, but there's a lot of fun stuff because, you know, fortunately, since I've been working on the broadcast since 91, we have played at every SEC school except Auburn, which is on the schedule here in the next couple of years. We've not been to Texas since they came in, but everybody else, Arkansas, Missouri, Florida, Kentucky, you know, you name it, we've been there. And so we've been to some really, really good places that had great atmospheres. But Wisconsin is one of those that if you're a football junkie, that's one that you'd like to see for sure.
Yeah, we're talking to Chip Walters. I think you're the best voice in college football because I'm biased like that.
Pay you to say that.
So. Tell me about the Sam Houston press box.
This year I don't know what it looks like this year because they're not playing at home.
Right.
They're playing at a soccer stadium in Houston where the Dynamos play.
Yeah.
But at their stadium on their campus. Hopefully it's part of what's being renovated because it was about I don't know, about the size of a closet, something not very big.
I felt like we're on a Southwest flight.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all just kind of bunched up together.
Yeah, exactly.
Right so. There. If somebody were to ask, tell you your favorite football moment at Middle Tennessee State, what is it?
There was when we beat Western maybe in triple overtime here that night, you know, and we won, you know, it was like sudden victory. Obviously the big pass play at
Miami.
I go back to one play that turned the first New Orleans bowl game around when Alex Suber intercepted the pass against Southern Miss that turned that game around. But, you know, there was a moment I go back to as a student and was at a 1AA playoff game at Indiana State where Middle blocked an extra point in the third overtime to beat the number one ranked team in the country. Ooh. In the playoffs, 42-41 in triple overtime. But there were a lot of those back through the years. And the Idaho game on this field where Middle won 72-56 one night, and West Count set the single game passing record and still got outthrown by Idaho's quarterback by 250 yards. Brian Lindgren threw for over 700 that night.
Good
and
Lord.
And in a losing effort, and Wes threw for 459 that night. And there's in the Sun Belt and Conference USA, both very offensive leagues. You know, there are nights when it can be like arena football, and you know, we've seen it. But I hope that the absolute best moments are yet to come, Joe.
Oh, yes, good answer.
That is a great answer. So looking at this matchup, Danny O'Neill is going to be the quarterback for Wisconsin. It looks like their starter Billy Edwards is not going to play. So what kind of, I mean, advantage and also a disadvantage, because that wasn't the guy that, you know, you were thinking you're going to see last week, even though he did play quite a bit. Does that give the Blue Raiders?
Yeah, I don't think Wisconsin's one of those that's going to change their spots a whole lot, because I think what we need to expect is a Big Ten offensive line that's going to try to mash you and try to dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, what can we do? And I thought we were probably our best position group on this past Saturday might have been the interior defensive line. Between the tackles, I thought we played pretty well and didn't allow much. They got to the outside, but I'm not sure that changing quarterbacks is going to be a huge deal. You can always expect the tight end to be good. I need to check and see if O'Neill was on the San Diego State roster that we played in the Hawaii Bowl 3 years ago. Mm. That would be interesting to see, because and we end up winning that bowl game against them. But defensively, they did not give up a third down conversion. You know, in Middle on this past Saturday, one of the things that jumped off the stat sheet is we were unable to convert a third down. Mm-hmm. 0 for 12, and combined third and fourth downs, 1 for 16. That has got to be better. And talking to Derek Mason on Tuesday night on his radio show this week, and I went back to when we did our keys to the game last week, Joe, before, is that, you know, third down is always such a stat that everybody looks at. But, you know, to me, the reason third down was poor is we were not very good on first and second down.
Right.
And you've got to put yourself in a better position to where you're third and two, third and three, not third and eight or nine. Mm-hmm. And so I think Middle's got to find a way to stay ahead of the chains, play another clean game, from a turnover standpoint, because they didn't turn the ball over, did not have many penalties,
right,
had two that cost them. But I think you go up there and play with a little chip on your shoulder after last week and try to get some of that back.
You know, it's funny. People ask me, like, why are you playing? Y'all lost to me. Why are you playing Wisconsin now?
Like, it's on the schedule.
Yeah, right. Why not?
That's right.
Why not play that? I mean, that's, you know, you don't go into a game thinking, oh, right, gosh, we're going to lose. I don't know why we're, I mean, go up there. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, as Chris Massaro said, as Coach Mason said, you got 11 more opportunities to prove it. You got 11 more opportunities to do it. Why not? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
He was not on that roster.
Yeah, he was not. Okay. Yeah. And but I, that was when I saw he was a San Diego State transfer. I was curious about that. But you know, between you know, this week is a great opportunity. It's on they're on national television on Saturday afternoon on FS1 and then you know, next week, you know, this is a tough stretch where you have to go back again on a long road trip to Nevada before coming home for Marshall. But why not you know, get yourself in a position to where, you know, win or lose, you come out of there with some positive momentum going in to a stretch where you have again, you go to Nevada, home for Marshall, then Kennesaw, Missouri State, Delaware. I mean, I go back to what I was thinking before the year starts. You know, there's some stretches where you feel like you can make some hay in the schedule. And I know coaches have to talk about one game at a time, but, you know, all of us, we y'all get paid to talk about it every day, big picture and all that. And you know, and sometimes, you know, you just kind of look at that and see, okay, where are the wins going to come from on the schedule? And, you know, there's meat on the bone.
Right.
And you know, why not? It wasn't that long ago when Middle went and shocked the world at Miami. And this is a Wisconsin team, you know, what, they put up 17 the other day?
Yep.
I mean, they've never been known as a, you know, big-time point scoring machine, but they are very, very good on defense, and you better find a way to stay on the field.
Well, Chip, we're excited. We all got to go catch a plane and
that's right,
head to Madison. So let's do it. Let's have some fun and bring a win back to Murfreesboro.
Why not us, right?
Why not?
Why not us?
He is Chip Walters, the voice of the Blue Raiders. Coming up next, we'll get into the NFL with the Titans and also last night's game. It is finally here. John McClain also in hour number two. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.